So first of all, I'd like to say to thank Yonah and Ruchi Hamlet for sponsoring the shiur today. Le'ilu Nishmas Sarah Bas Shmuel, Yonah's mother, whose yahrzeit is Boy Bayon. And Mitzvah Hashem, our limud should be Le'ilu Nishmas. I thank you for always being part of the shiur and sponsoring, even when there's no coffee to be had. But don't worry, if we worry about coffee, so let's 6 o'clock tonight, Yonah said he's going to be filling in. Be'ezras Hashem, actually, so if you worry about coffee, next week we're going to be doing a whole bunch more coffee. So next week will be coffee questions. So there are people who have already sent in a whole bunch of very fascinating questions, hoping to get to a lot of them. What we're going to try to do is a little bit of history, fundamentals, and applications. Okay, so folks, it's going to be great. I'm going to see if we can get a broader range of coffee to be served. We'll see. But in the meantime, let's not talk about coffee on a day when we're sorely in desperation, needing it. Let's talk a little bit about today. Let's talk about what we're missing today. And that is, in fact, we're on the fast of Asara B'Teves. So let's do a little bit of history. What I'd like to do is concentrate a little bit on the history, a little bit on what it actually means. So let's start at the very beginning. One of the places that we look for when we try to understand the fast days is a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah says the following, and this is, remember, so let's just put things in context. We talked about this briefly last week. Zechariah is, in fact, one of the prophets who lives at the times of Shivas Tzion, which means it's now the time of the end of the Babylonian exile. The Persians are allowing the Jews back. Zechariah is one of the prophets who's now in the land of Israel in the rebuilding. So listen to the question that they posed to him, and it should be something which actually resonates in today's generation, specifically post-67. The question they asked him is, should we be fasting anymore? Meaning all these terrible fasts or the calamities that occurred at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, no longer. Why do we have to worry about these things? So this is what Hashem said in response to that question. Vahidvar Hashem, Tzavakos Elai Nemor, Hashem responded to me, says Zechariah in Perikhes, Komar Hashem Tzavakos, so says God, the God of the legions, Tzom Harvi'i, the fast of the fourth, the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth, Tzom HaShvi'i, the fast of the seventh, Tzom HaAsiri, and the fast of the tenth, Yiyah Leveis Yehuda, L'Sason U'L'Simcha, L'Moadim Tovim, V'Aimes V'Shalom E'Havu. They're going to be for the house of Yehuda to joy and simcha for festivals. So, meaning to say, Zechariah is projecting that through the reign of the second Beis Hamikdash, these fast days aren't going to be fast days. They're going to be days of simcha, even though they were, in fact, days of mourning about what occurred very shortly in history. I mean, we're talking about just a few decades beforehand. Nonetheless, we've reached a point in history where now we can celebrate, which is, you know, quite incredible. If you read the introduction, Rabbi Lukstein has an introduction to the Kinos, the Lukstein edition of the Koran Kinos. His introduction is about the discussion with Rav Soloveitchik, the Tisha B'Av after 67. So what do you do then? Do we still commemorate Tisha B'Av in the same way? There's this feeling of euphoria. Perhaps we didn't quite make it yet that far. There wasn't the Beis Hamikdash yet, but nonetheless, there was such. And this is the question which is being raised. So let's try to appreciate what these fast days are. How's visibility over there?
Good.
Right, okay. Mr. Stark, you good in the corner? Okay. So what are these fast days? So as far as I remember, I don't remember any fast days on the 5th or 7th or 4th of a month. I do remember on the 10th of a month. So it seems like maybe we're misreading this if we're thinking about specific dates. Okay? Because the dates we're given are 4, 5, 7, and 10. What are these dates? So this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara has a long discussion about this. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Beis. Here we go. This is a pretty straightforward. The Gemara, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva about what these fast days are. So here's how it goes. Tanya, Om Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Arba'od dvarim hayo Rabbi Akiva doresh, v'ani ein doresh kamoisa. Rabbi Shimon says, with all due respect, I don't go by the same opinion as Rabbi Akiva. What are they? Tzom HaRavi'i, the day of the fast of the fourth, Zeh Tisha B'Tamuz. It's the ninth of Tamuz. Sheboi Huf Ka'ir, because on that day there was the actual penetration of Jerusalem, the breaching of the walls. Shenema B'Tisha L'Chodesh V'Yechazak HaRav Ha'ir, on the ninth of that month, then the famine became too strong. Remember, it's 2.5 years worth of siege. There was no food. There was nothing in and out. And people at this point in time, the weak city broke. V'loya lechem la'am ha'aretz. Nobody could eat anything. V'ativka'ir. V'amei korele revi. Why is it called the fourth? So the answer is, the Gemara revi lachadashim. It's the fourth month. Because if you count from Nisan, Iyar Sivan Tammuz. Fourth month. What day is the important day? Well, actually, the Gemara records, based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, the 9th. Okay, interestingly enough. Happens to be, fascinatingly enough, in the second Beis HaMikdash, it was the 17th. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it was the 9th. Happens to be the month itself was very significant, but nonetheless, they would commemorate the 9th as the fast day until the end of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Question? The Luchos were broken on the 17th, so it was almost like a day. It was a dormant day waiting.
And then,
exactly. Unfortunately, at the end, the reason why the Gemara says we do the 17th rather than the 9th is because they said the destruction of the second temple was much more severe. Meaning, we still feel the effects today, unfortunately. So that's why that became the winning day, so to speak, in the fast days. But originally it was the 9th, based on the Pesukim in Tanakh, because there were two destructions, of course, at the same time of year. Nonetheless, this is the Tzom HaRevi, the 4th. Tzom HaChamishi, what's the fast of the 5th? Zetisha Ba'av Shabo Nisraf Beis Elokeinu. It was the fast because of the destruction of the burning of the house of Hashem, which took place on Tisha B'Av, and Av, of course, is the 5th month, immediately following Tammuz. And it says, Amai Kore Lechamishi, Chamishi Lechadoshim. Of course, it's 5 to the month, not 5 to the dates, and dates in the month. Tzomar Shavii, the fast of the 7th, what's the 7th month of the year starting from Nisan? Tishrei, so the fast of Tishrei is, of course, Zer Gimel Tishrei, Sheboi Nerak Gedalia Ben Achikom, Umihargo Yishmael Ben Netanya. So he was killed by a Jew, unfortunately, who felt that he wasn't supposed to be in power. Gedalia was the last leader, of course, of the mandate under the Babylonians. And with his death, meant to say there was no longer any standing in the land of Israel. Lelamedchot, says the Gemara, Sheshkulam misoson shel tzadikim kisreifas beis elokeinu. That it's when a tzadik dies, it's like the destruction of the house of God. Not just any tzadik, of course, but we're talking about a tzadik specifically is representing the Yishuv Hayashan. Now we get to ours. Tzom ha'asiri ze'asara b'teves. So Rabbi Akiva would say that the fast of the 10th is not just the 10th month, but also the 10th day of the 10th month, which is today. Sheboi somach melech bava al Yerushalayim, because this is when the siege of Jerusalem began, 2.5 years earlier than the 9th of Tammuz. Sheneemar vayhi dvar Hashem elai v'shanash tishis, v'chodesh asir v'chzor l'chodesh lemor, ben adam k'sav l'cho es shem ha-yom hazeh, etzem ha-yom hazeh, somach melech bava al Yerushalayim. Yechezkel is told that on this day, this is when the siege began, and Yecheskel was told to take note of it. Vame korele asiri, why is it called 10th? Asiri lachadoshim, it's the 10th of the months. Now, there's a problem over here, folks. Did you pick up on it? What's the problem in the way the Gemara has described this up till now? We talked about Revi'i, Chamishi, Shvi'i, Asiri. What's the problem?
Only numbering the months, and now they did the day.
Well, now we've added the date since. So we're given a little fuller definition. But what's the problem over here? Answer, the problem over here is?
Starting from Nisan.
That's the Gemara Paskins. We do start from Nisan. Problem is that, in fact, this is out of chronological sequence. Okay, because if we're going in the direction that we were, then ultimately speaking, what was the first event? The first event was the siege. Right, the siege was today. This is the beginning of everything else. The cracking of the wall, the destruction of the temple, the killing of Gedalia ben Achikam, those are subsequent events. So Gemara is now describing this, or Zechariah essentially is describing it as the first event lost. This is what the Gemara picks up on. The Gemara then says, V'lava nichtav kan, it says, V'halai haya royu lichtav rishon. Surely it should have been written first. V'lava nichtav kan, I'm just going to go maybe to this side and get a little more space. So this works like this. How's this?
Got it.
Okay, so why was it written? Why was it written last? After all, if in the end of the day it occurred of the first of all these events, so why is it listed by Zechariah last? So he says, because in the end of the day, the months are in that order, right? So it makes nice sense to go with the 4th month, the 5th month, the 7th month, and the 10th month, even though chronologically the fast of the 10th month actually occurred much earlier. Right? So that's what Rabbi Akiva says. However, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't approve of that. Vani eni omer kein. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't approve of that. Tzom ha'asiri ze chamisha b'teves shebo'i ba shemua lagola. Shehuk sa ha'ir. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. It's actually the 5th of Teves. As we saw, that the numbers over here are describing the month. It isn't describing the date. So what was the date? It was the 5th of Teves. What happened on the 5th of Teves that was so terrible? What happened was that that was when the news arrived about the destruction of the temple. Meaning, remember that the people of Bavel are completely disconnected from the people in Israel. And among the people living in Bavel are people like Yechezkel. And they only really heard about the destruction on the 5th of Teves. It took a few months for the news to actually, by Yavar Polit, that the refugees arrived. Now, interestingly enough, if you actually go back to it, Yechezkel himself actually witnessed it in a prophetic experience. In fact, Yechezkel's taken in up in the clouds, and he's taken to see Jerusalem, and he sees it in his vision. But everybody else is not experiencing it. And when do they finally? When is the gravity hit? When is it? When do you actually feel the pain? Is on the 5th of Teves, and therefore we fast for that. It says Rabbi Shimon. And he quotes the pasuk as it says that the refugee arrived on that day. So this is what Rabbi Shimon suggests over here. So there's a debate as to what is the Tzom HaAsiri. What is the fast of the 10th? Is it the 10th of Teves or is it the 5th of Teves? And of course, we today practice the 10th. But this is going to be important for later to remember the background of Rabbi Shimon. Here is actually the pasuk which we talked about, Rabbi Akiva actually quotes, which talks about the noting of the 10th of Teves. Okay, because remember, Yechezkel at this point in time is living in Babylon. He is he's the prophets on the Nahar Kvar. He is the prophets on the other side. He's all the way north, northeast from Israel. And he's told by God, take note of this day. This is how Hashem says it. It says to him. He says, Vayidvar Hashem Eli, Vishnas Atishis, Bachodesh Ashiri, Bayasar Lachodesh Lemor. It is in the ninth year of his being there, in the 10th month or the 10th of the month. So that's exactly today. And then this is the passage that Gemara quoted. Ben Adam, Ksov Lecho Hashem Ayom Hazeh. Write down this day. Note it on your calendar, Yechezkel. Says, Es Etzem Ayom Hazeh. This very day, Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. Although you don't get the news by the Twitter feed to know what's going on there, but you should know right now what's going on. What's going on is in Israel, the siege has begun. Okay, and then he goes on to an interesting description about this boiling pot. Okay, Yechezkel had many prophecies which were very visual, very graphic. A lot of them were actual things he had to do. So in any event, this is how it's described. Now let's think about this for just a brief moment. What is unusual about this description in the Pasuk? What are some unusual features about the way that Yechezkel is having this described to him? Repeating phrases, folks. What do we have over here? What do we have over here which is not used often? The thing that would strike me is that it can be on the 10th of the month, but that actually has some resonance we're going to see halachically in just a moment. But the thing which I noticed is that the fact that the pasuk talks about es etzem ayom hazeh and be etzem ayom hazeh twice in the same pasuk, meaning it's not like just that remember this day. It's like remember exactly this day and remember exactly this day in one pasuk. Etzem ayom hazeh. Etzem ayom hazeh is a phrase which does appear in Tanakh. It does appear in a number of places, but it usually appears at very, very much watershed moments. It says by Noach. What was that? It means, it literally means high noon, or specifically sort of the centerpiece of the day, the prominent part of time in the day. So the examples that Rashi rallies in the Torah are, for example, by Noach. Noach is told to enter the table, be'etzem ayom hazeh. The reason why Rashi says is because so everybody should see it in their faces. They said, maybe we're going to stop him entering. So Hashem says, I will let him enter be'etzem ayom hazeh. In everybody else's face, they can see it. Moshe Rabbeinu's death, people said they weren't going to let Moshe go up to Har Nevo. Hashem says you should go up to Har Nevo, be'etzem ayom hazeh. Right, these are moments where Hashem is explicitly pointing out how important it is to everybody to see. But more than that, actually, there are also era changes, if you think about it. Noach was the change between world one and world two, essentially. The world was uncreated and recreated around the flood. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu into the next stage is a milestone in Jewish history. Apparently, Tanakh is emphasizing to us that this as well, Asara B'Teves, is a milestone in history. And if you think about it, of the severity of the four fasts that we talked about, it doesn't seem to really have the same resonance. Meaning, unfortunately, it is an important stage. But it isn't, the same gravity as, you know, the siege breaking through, meaning when that broke through the siege, we're talking about a starving city of people who are going to essentially be lambs to the slaughter, to get the great Babylonian army. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, when Gedaliah's last yeshuv is destroyed and Golus is complete, those are very, very serious events. The siege was a siege which lasted for 2.5 years. And they did pretty fine at the beginning under that siege. And at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't strike you as being as the sort of the same level of severity as the rest of the events. And it happened way before the rest of the events. But the Tanakh seems to be telling Yechezkel is, don't let that fool you. Yechezkel, be'etzem hayom hazeh, something very significant is occurring today. Let's try to appreciate that, what that is. So the way to go about this is the following. Is in order to really appreciate what's unique about this event, let's try to look at it in the eyes of halacha. Happens to be there's a very fascinating uniqueness to this month. This is the Sefer Avudraham. Rav David Avudraham wrote a Sefer which is an explanation to the Seder HaTfilah. He lives, if I'm not mistaken, in the 1400s. Very fascinating individual. And he, if you really want to understand the meaning and the background of the Tfilahs that we have, one of the starting places in many ways is a systematic work of Avudraham. So this is what he says about the fast days. He's in the Seder Tfilos Shaltanis. And he says the following. He says a point that we may have heard, which sounds maybe like a theoretical point, but is in fact very important to us. He says the following. V'chiluk yesh b'neihem shel arba'a tzomos. Hey, there is a difference between all the four fasts that we talked about. Hem nidchim nifamim k'shechalu b'shabbos. He says all the other fasts, Tisha B'Av, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which happens, by the way, thing happened last year, where they on Shabbos, they went to Sunday, and Tzom Gedalia, which in our calendar does happen sometimes, will be a 3-day Rosh Hashanah, so Tzom Gedalia will be on the Sunday. So in all those events, the fast days shifted over one day to Sunday. He says, except for Asar B'Tammuz. Aval, Hichal Lefamim, he says, today it doesn't fall on Shabbos, meaning our fixed calendar will never allow it to have that permutation. Sometimes it will be on a Friday, an early Friday, and then you'd fast on that day. So he says, but in the times the calendar was shifting, when it was based on Re'ia, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, and in Metz Hashem, when that will be reinstituted, if Asar HaBetavis would in fact fall on Shabbos, we would observe it on Shabbos, says the Avudraham. Why? He says, Mibnei, Shneemar by Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. That extra, those words in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, he feels, are in fact an indicator to say that it's observed on Shabbos. Why? Because what other fast day does it say Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh about? Bad Yom Kippur. He says, Kamoy B'Yom HaKippurim. That it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Bad Yom Kippur. Why is Hashem using that word to describe it to Yechezkel, to tell you it is like Yom Kippur, that when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we do fast on Shabbos. So Asar HaBetavis is a uniqueness that is observed on Shabbos, would be observed on Shabbos theoretically. Now you say to yourself, well, you know, that's not even practical. For the last 2,000 years, essentially, that hasn't been a reality. So why do we need to know this? Meaning that Avudraham is commenting, in the 15th century, why does he need to be telling us this? So apparently, if we're to really understand this, we could understand something that's unique about it. Meaning, this wrinkle in halacha apparently reveals to us something which is quite unique about the fast as a whole. So let's try to open the scope of what that could be. By the way, here in America, let's say in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, everybody is not too worried about Asar HaBetavis. After all, you know, Minchas 4:15, finishing up sometime after 5 tonight, you know, it's not really so bad. So everybody should come and take a trip down to South Africa at this time of the year, especially in Cape Town. You know, so this is the worst fast of the year. This is 8:30 at night, boiling days. So, you know, from my childhood, Asar HaBetavis was always the worst fast. But I guess it doesn't have the same expectations over here. But nonetheless, we just experience things differently. But what Avudraham is saying is there is something very different about it. So let's try to understand what that is. There are three main approaches, lahalacha, fascinating approaches, which really help us understand things which I personally was not aware of before investigating this particular issue. By the way, we're not going to go into the words right now, but people disagree with them. The Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo, in his commentaries on the Tur, says when he quotes this, he says, "V'lo yodati minayin lo zeh." He says, look, the Avudraham says a very nice thing about Asar HaBetavis, but I don't really know where he got this from. I don't know where he pulled it out of. Meaning, it's a nice drosha, but it sounds like he made it. Meaning, you can't find this in Chazal. That's what the Beis Yosef says about
but
this.
But he said it specifically, B'yatzim Hayom Hazeh.
Oh, good. But that's his own drasha.
But it's a good drasha.
That's a very good drasha. But remember that we have to be very careful before we make drashas which have implications of halacha which aren't found in the Gemara. There are people who do it, and the Avodram is well within his grounds to do that. But nonetheless, Beis Yosef says, I've never seen it before. The Rambam, in fact, when paskening this, at the very end of the halachas, he says, one of the four fasts, the Rambam says explicitly, if you have a fast day of one of the four fast days, including Asar HaTeves, if it falls on Shabbos, it's also pushed off. So he disagrees wholeheartedly with the Avodram. So not really agrees with them. But let's try to appreciate what the suggestions could be. Number one is the Minchas Chinuch. So as you can see, because of the size of the screen, because of the time in the morning and the lack of coffee, we're not going to do the all inside. But what I'd like to do is to focus on the following idea. So what the Minchas Chinuch says is a very fascinating idea. Minchas Chinuch is a super commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, Rav Yosef Babad, who is writing on the Sefer HaChinuch. A lot of pilpul, a lot of lamdas that he puts together. He says a very interesting thing. He's on Mitzvah Shin Aleph. He says the following. He says, look, if you look at Zachariah, wasn't it interesting that Zachariah actually doesn't identify the dates, the specific dates for those fast days? We saw at the beginning, he only identifies the months. And in fact, we already saw, just in our brief investigation, in the Gemara itself, there's already a discrepancy when it comes to the Tzom Haravi, the fast of Tammuz, right? In the first Beis HaMikdash was the 9th, the second Beis HaMikdash was the 17th. So I mean, you say the month seems to be more important than the actual specific day. Is that fascinating? And he goes on to say the following. He says, look, let's assume that that throughout the second Beis HaMikdash, as we saw, as Zachariah says, they were celebrated as Yomim Tovim, right? Let's assume that they were celebrated as Yomim Tovim. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived immediately after the destruction of the first temple, of the second temple. So they were living at the end of the first century of Common Era. He says, do you really think that they could have a debate as to what the Tzom HaAsiri is? Meaning, like, how do they not know what was the day of celebration for the entire 400 plus years of what was going on beforehand? Why is it even a matter of debate? The 5th day of Teves, the 10th day of Teves, how could they just look and ask your grandfather?
They were right? Alive. They were alive during the Beis HaMikdash. Ask themselves.
Ask themselves, right? Meaning you don't even go to your grave. I'm saying if you want to go back, you could work it out. Why were they debating this? That's what the Minchas Chinuch asks. And he says, because in the end of the day, he feels that the month itself was more of the commemoration time than the actual date. Meaning, why does the Zachariah relate to them as months? Because the months themselves were, in fact, the indicators of those events, the commemoration. Which day specifically? Well, that was up to each generation. It was more in flux. It depended on the times, and it depended on what was most recent, and depends on the area even, what day they actually commemorated or celebrated. Because the months themselves became, if you think about it, there were 4 months a year, they became difficult months. And they were the months of Tammuz, Av, which we know today, and of course also Tishrei and Teves. So this is what the Minchas Chinuch says, which leads some fortune to say, Rav Chaim Briska said on his Chidushim on the Shas, he says, maybe that's what Avodram is saying. He says, Ve'zeh chiluk mikol atanyos v'asara v'teves. V'chol tanis mis'ani mibnei hamu oros, v'tole b'choydesh, t'chsiv b'kra, v'shapir shayach shiyidche, av'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' says the Reb Chaim, maybe the fact that the Tanakh went out of its way, and that Hashem went out of his way to tell Yechezkel, this is the day, this was different to the other three, which were maybe perhaps resonance with the whole month as being a time of mourning, and therefore later on celebration. Whereas when it came to Asara Batavis, what does it mean, the Etzma Yom Hazeh? Hashem says, no, specifically this day, which is why, in this particular event, why it is that the Avodah Zarah says, you can't push it over. It's not a whole holistic picture, it's a specific picture. Yes?
Maybe it's not coincidence that it's the 10th day or the 10th month.
Oh, very good. Right, exactly. So that's much more specific. As Asiri means to say, it's 10th of 10, right? So 10-10 wins. So we're on all sides, it works. So you're right. You're 100%, right? And this is what Reb Chaim says. Fascinating idea, which, by the way, just gives us a little bit of insight into the development of the fast days we have today. And perhaps the way people used to appreciate what was going on in those days was in a more of a global sense rather than a specific sense. Ari, you had a point?
How does it resolve Rav Yosef Karo's objection? It's the same objection.
Absolutely. The Rambam disagrees. And there's no making peace between the Avodah Ram and the Rambam. Just for the sake of posterity, I wanted to point out that the Rambam does disagree. It does not resolve the Rabbi Yosef's kasha, but what it does, it gives a little bit of more meat to the Avodah Ram's perspective on things.
But Zechariah came out of Yechezkel. Yes, Zechariah.
Correct.
Came out of
Yechezkel. Good.
And his nebuah does not specify the 10th.
Correct. But what Baruch was saying is maybe the innuendo is the tenth of the tenth. Possibly, you're right. It still is more specific, more general. But I think putting the two together is what Avodah Ram is saying. Fascinating. This is level number one. Let's delve a little deeper. Level number two, the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer says, why in the first place is it that fast days don't actually land on Shabbos or they can't be observed on Shabbos? What's the problem with having a fast day on Shabbos in the end of the day? Right. So the Shabbos is supposed to be an oinek, but if you think about it, it depends. The question is, how do you define a fast day? What is the purpose and function of a fast day? Because there's certain ideals or ideologies which are not in conflict with oinek Shabbos. So an idea which is not in conflict with Shabbos is, for instance, the conflict of tshuva. If the day you're commemorating is the day of tshuva, like, for instance, Yom Kippur, that's not in conflict with Shabbos because that can superimpose itself on Shabbos. But if a day is about Avel, mourning is incompatible with Onek. Avel can't be actually compatible with living on the same time as the Shabbos. So what the Chasam Sofer says, which is fascinating, fascinating insight, is that's why fast days are pushed over, because they are Yom Avel. They're days of mourning, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Shivasa B'Tamuz. What some argue in the Chasam Sofer is maybe that's why Asar B'Teves is different. Maybe Asar B'Teves is less of the Avil, wasn't the destruction itself, but it was the moment that change could have happened. It's the moment that we could have done Shuvah. Things could have been averted. If the day itself is more focused on Shuvah than it is about Avelus, then maybe, says Avodraham, it could actually stay and remain on a Shabbos. Because the notion of tshuva and Shabbos are not incompatible. With extra one halachic wrinkle, just as a footnote, is that also Asar B'Teves doesn't take up the whole of Shabbos, meaning you could still eat the oinek Shabbos on Friday night, so some of the poskim can say that might be part of it. Be it as it may. The main point that he's making over here is that maybe there's a difference between fast days which are tshuva and fast days which are avelus. And finally, the last suggestion over here, which is made by the Yaros Tavash, which I think makes a lot of sense. The Yaros Tavash is Rav Yonasan Abishitz, and he says a very fascinating comment over here, which I think is very well taken. He says the following. Let's take a look at this inside. He says, "V'yom ha'hu, that day, kosher Yisrael lim'od yoser mi'yom churban abayis." Says this day is even worse than Churban Bayis. Ki Tisha B'Av ain't a doiche Shabbos. We know that Tisha B'Av doesn't push aside Shabbos. Va'elu yud teves, v'ilu yud teves lefi kvius kadmoinim shoya efshar liyos b'Shabbos kar kosav beis Yosef b'shem Avodraham. The Beis Yosef quotes the Avodah Ram as saying, "Ki doicha Shabbos kmo yom kippurim, umizem moifes ki tzara gedola haya v'kol haschalos kashos." He says, "Why? Because the beginning is often worse than the end." V'kevin shekvar hutra ritzua milamala lotzura la'ir kvar achacha chaya aderech kvusha lifnei oivei amoy la'asos kasher zamamu. He says, once Hashem allowed the enemies to arrive, at that moment in time, that's when the beginning of the end started. And this was the moment which is perhaps even worse. As said by some of the other Mepharshim, the Siach Yitzchak says it, he quotes a beautiful description of Rav Lopian. And Rav Elia Lopian says that when fish are caught in a net, what is the most critical moment to their survival? It's not when they're pulled out of the water. It's when they get ensnared in the net in the first place. They may still be in the water, but once the net's around them, there's no way to escape. He says that's what Asar B'Teves was. Asar B'Teves was when the net descended and there was no way out of it. It could be that they only pulled out of the water 2.5 years later, but that became the moment which was the most severe of all of them. Actually, interestingly enough, Aleph Beta just released a video last night on Asar B'Teves, which I which I was able to see. I was going to share with you one quick snippet of it just to give you an emotional appreciation of exactly that point for just one brief moment. Here we go. Here we go.
From the redeemed state of Jerusalem in the first temple period to the beginning stages of the Babylonian exile. Imagine what it was like. This was during the days of the first temple. Jerusalem was the pride and glory of the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye. Great prophets like Yechezkel and Jeremiah lived among us. It was a time of spiritual vibrancy, an age of miracles. And although the people had been warned time and time again to stop straying from God, to stop turning to the idols of their neighboring nations, none of them imagined that God would ever really abandon them. God would never destroy his own palace. But the day came when they heard the chariots approaching, the blasts of trumpets calling for war. In the distance, they saw the Babylonians approaching, preparing to lay siege on the city of God. When the Babylonian armies reached Jerusalem and set up camp around its walls, the people's sense of security quickly began to unravel. The unimaginable was taking place before their very eyes. The prominence and protection that they had enjoyed for all these years vanished into thin air. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. This was the day that everything changed.
So to give you a sense of that, I think sometimes we don't really appreciate just how different and how terrible this was. Let's go a little further. Just to appreciate what the Yaros Devash means when he says that this day changed things. Imagine that. This was the first time in history that there was a possibility that the Beis Hashem would be threatened. And that's what was going on this day. That's what the Yaros Devash says. The net had been strung. That's what's going on over here. Let's take a quick look at some other events. This is not the only event that occurred in Teves. There happens to be another few events that are actually subsumed in Teves. Very briefly, just to get an appreciation of this. The Gemara Megillah tells us a very famous thing. The Gemara tells us, Ma'aseh b'Talmai HaMelech. So Talmai was Ptolemy, one of the Greek kings. It was actually a name which was passed for a few generations. He was one of the four sections of the Greek Empire which took over the Egyptian side of the world under Greece. He says, Shekines Shivim v'Shiva Shnayim Zekenim. So he took 72 sages, put them into 72 separate rooms. Write me, translate for me the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. This became ultimately the Septuagint, as many argue. Right, the Greek translation of the Torah. And everybody agreed, and they made similar changes that were. Not going to be misunderstood when translated to Greek, and then the Gemara goes on to list a whole bunch of them. In other places, the Gemara describes this was a day that darkness entered into the world for 3 days. Interestingly enough, actually, in this Gemara, it doesn't give the date, but this occurred on the 8th of Teves. The 8th of Teves was when the Torah translation was, in fact, required, and the Gemara says that darkness entered the world for 3 days, which of course is 8, 9, and 10, because that ends up on the 10th of Teves. Moreover, the Gemara describes it was as bad as the day that the Egel Azov was brought, which means that there was something very terrible about this. I'm going to leave as just an unopened package, but just to think about what's so wrong about translations, meaning that the Torah is translated to 70 languages when written on the rocks. There were many other translations of the Torah. There was something very wrong about this at this point in time that was in fact the cause of a fast day for a number of years afterwards. The writing of the Septuagint, the predominance of the Alexandria Greek community as opposed to the Israel community. There's a lot going on over here which we need to unpack. We don't have the time to do it, but I just want to leave this as an unopened package over here. Moreover, if you go through Megillas Tanis, there's two versions of Megillas Tanis, the Aramaic one and the Hebrew one. They describe that, in fact, there was another event which occurred in the month of Tevis. So you take a look at the underline over here. This is the Hildesheimer edition. It says, Betisha, boy, on the ninth of Tevis, Loi Kosavnu Rabosenu Almahu. There was a fast day, which we don't know what it's about. So there was a fast day on the 8th of Teves, because of the Torah translation, the 10th of Teves, because of the siege, And other than that, we don't really know, but there was one, says the Vigras Tanis. And also it was the death of Ezra and Nehemiah, was on the 9th of Tevez. So there's an unknown reason, and there is a reason which is the death of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now this is fascinating. What is that event? Throughout the ages, people have wondered about this. In fact, Dr. Schneer Lyman has a very fascinating paper on this. But there is some just very fascinating ones which perhaps we aren't aware of. Take a look at this. This is something which is lying in front of us, and we perhaps never noticed this before. In the Megillas Esther, which Havon and Lotzova, it says, "Vatilakach Esther el Hamelach Achashverosh." When is she taken to the king Achashverosh? Based Malchusai, b'chodesh Asiri yuchodesh Teves b'shnas Shevel Malchusai. She was taken to the king in Teves. Do we notice that? That wasn't on our focus, right? Because we were focusing more on the Adars and the Nisans of the Megillah. She was taken in Teves. Says the Ramah in his Pirush, Rav Moshe Isselis, on his Pirush on the Megillah called Mechir Yayin. He says that maybe what date was that? That was the 9th of Tammuz, the 9th of Teves. Why was it? And he says that was the strange day of mourning was in fact Esther's being taken into Achashverosh's palace. Now it's fascinating because on the one hand it's a tragedy, it's a terrible personal tragedy. Maybe it's an affront to the family of royalty, but at the same time, it was also the beginning of great things in a strange way. So this is a very fascinating interpretation, but nonetheless, something which is said. Another example of yes, is more famous, is the Taz, who says the following. The one of the Noisei Ken on Shulchan Aruch, he says, Tema Gedola, what's the ninth of Teves? He says, Tema Gedola, Ha Isa B'Slichos. It says in Shlichos that on the 10th of Teves that the Ezra Sofer died. Why are you telling me you don't know what happened on that day? It says that that's when Ezra died. Why is that? Why is saying that the only reason for this fast day being Ezra's death is a problem? Why is that a bit of a strange thing to say, like the Taz is saying?
You said Nehemiah
also. This is Nehemiah as well, so we can put them together. But if you think about this, so it's talking about the earlier destruction, because Ezra and Nehemiah are here, but if you think about the Gemara, the Megiddo's Tana said two things. It says, we fast for one reason we don't know, and because Ezra died. It's almost as if to suggest there are two reasons. To conflate the two is a little more difficult, which is something which the Taz has to deal with. Maybe it's a Girsa, maybe it's an issue in the Megillas Tanis. But coming back to the Yaros Tavash again, Rav Yonasan Abishitz, he says a very fascinating thing. He says, just like the ninth of Teves is in time, is a particular place in history is in space. What does that mean? He says, look, Ezra, in fact, as a leader, was a leader who was particularly so strong, so powerful a leader that he was actually in fact likened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, it says the Gemara talks about in the Sanhedrin that Ezra's involvement in the reconstruction. Now we're using that word carefully. We're not talking about reconstruction of Judaism, but the reestablishment of Judaism in its strength. The transcript of the Torah's actual script turning from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuri, the Tychonus that Ezra established, he was such a powerful person at the Shivas Tzion that the Gemara actually says that if Ezra had been at the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have been the one to give the Torah. I mean, that's a very big compliment. It's not said about anybody else. Ezra was an extremely powerful person. So when you have very powerful people who disappear, what ends up happening with them is they become shrines, they become demigods, right? So what happens? What happens to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu disappears? We don't know where he's buried. You know, there's people who have a nice tourist site on the Jordan side of bringing people there. We don't know where he's buried. Okay? The Torah says, we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. And part of the reason why Hashem cloaks that is because we don't want him to become a shrine. So the Yaros Tavash says, just like Moshe was in place, Ezra is in time. Meaning, why was it a cloaked fast day? Is because Hashem was cloaking, or Anshek Nosagdola, were cloaking the day in time of Ezra's leaving, so that it didn't become a shrine in time. Isn't that fascinating?
So you're saying there's really nothing else besides the day?
Yeah, according to this description going in the direction of the Taz, that's what the Yaros Tavash says, which is a fascinating, fascinating observation. So these are the four the fast days. Now it happens to be, for those of us who have already davened today and we're focusing on the first Pizmon in Tehillim, in the first Slicha, where we said all together, this is what the Slicha is, Ezkara Motzoi Kasher Karani, And in fact, it's actually a very easily understood one, more than some of the harder to penetrate poetry. This one is all in Hebrew, and it talks about, and we see all the things, so on the 8th, we're forced to write in Greek, right? So that relates to the 8th. Then we say, Zamti b'tisha boi b'chlima v'chei v'hevei chosha chalai me'il hoi v'ot sefer torov torav bo'anos en imre shefer hu Ezra sefer. Rather, the 9th is the killing of Ezra, which corroborates the Taz's approach. And finally, Yom Asri tzuva boi ben buzi achoze. Ben buzi is Yechezkel, ben buzi was commanded. K'sov l'cha b'sefer machaze l'zikaron am nomes v'nivze. To write this down, this is going to be the time of the destruction. What's fascinating is at the end, a little later on, it says, Patzti al arbaasan luchetz belibi yorisi. I suffer like an arrow shot to the heart on all these four events. What's the fourth event? We talk about the 8th, the translation, the 9th, Ezra's death, the 10th, the siege. What's the fourth event? We've dealt with it already today. And that is?
Esther.
No, so Esther could be the 9th, but it's actually interesting enough. What is suggested over here, based on the previous line, is Bevo Eli Apolit Leimor Huksa'ir. When the refugee came and said the city was conquered, what does that mean? That the 5th as well is rolled into the 10th. Meaning to say, 5, 7, 8, is 5, 8, 9 are all rolled into number 10. So when we are commemorating our Asara B'Tevis, we're not just commemorating what happened on the 10th, we're commemorating the tragedies of the 5th, of the 8th, and the 9th, all rolled in together. And that's what the Mizmor is saying. That everything we've learned over here is in fact expressed in this. Happens to be very fascinating as a last moment, and we're going to close with this, is the Holocaust. After 1948 and the establishment of the State of Israel, the question became is, how do we and where do we establish this kind of commemoration? There were many people who never had. There were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, who there was no date known when they perished. When is there a yahrzeit? Happened to be a very fascinating halakhic shaila. This is Rav Tzurush, who wrote a mimer on this, and he talks about how the Rabbanut HaRashit said that the Kaddish Yom Kaddish Klali will be on Asara B'Teves. They said that the beginning of all ensuing destruction started on Asara B'Teves, and he says it should be he says Asara B'Teves liyom Kaddish Klali, and he goes on for a number of reasons why it should be such. He talked about how it's also a day which is very short days, and anybody who can fast as a zicharon would be easier to fast during this time. And he talks about the practicalities. Ultimately speaking, the Rabbanut HaRashit was actually rejected, meaning what ended up happening was the State of Israel took the 27th of Nisan because that was the day of the beginning of the rebellion in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they made that Yom HaShoah. But the original debates were to make Yom HaShoah would be actually on Asara B'Teves itself. The Chazon Ish, of course, was very against this notion. He claims, and what he says in one of his igros over here, in the igros, Tzadi Zion, 97th letter, is, we can't fix new fast days or establish new fast days without a prophet. Now, this is a very fascinating matter for debate, because there was a fast day which was established without Nevi'im, and that is the 20th of Sivan. The Gzeres Tachvatat, the Chilmaniki massacres, were, in fact, instituted in the 1600s, and we have to understand this Chazon Ish in greater context, because maybe when we get to Yom HaShoah, this Chazon Ish is something we should really spend a little bit of time appreciating. Nonetheless, even today, in fact, I was speaking to Robert Sassoon yesterday, he sponsored the Kiddush. He has, I think, a grandfather and a cousin, there's a Yahrzeit, and he, in fact, still to this day, commemorates Asara B'Teves as Yom Kaddish Klali, and there are many people still who will say Kaddish on Asara B'Teves for those who don't have necessarily a specific yard. And we don't know when they arrived in the camps that they arrived in. And this, even though it wasn't necessarily nationally commemorated, the Rabbanut HaRashit, it became part of the fabric of the society's mourning as well as the beginning of what ultimately ensued to be, if you think about it, not just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but therefore everything afterwards as well, which gives us a unique pedestal for this. So I hope this is a little bit of a insight into some of the unique facets of today, which is often an overlooked fast day, and something which we can really appreciate as not only a Yom Avel, but as we saw before, and a Yom Tshuva, a time where hopefully we can make the necessary changes that, God willing, we don't get to the next stages. Thank you very much, everybody. Rabbi Chanan, let's do a quick Kaddish. Rabbi Chanan, Mekashom Rasa, Kosh Baruch, Lizal Kos Yisrael, Levi Chanan, Yerba Lentor, Mr. Shanemar, Lecho, Vetsa, Man, Sikwa, Yagdil, Torah, Vyadir.
Amen.